In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control. Ooh, audacity.
Hello and welcome to Too Much Money, the podcast that asks, does being a billionaire make you crazy, or do you need to be crazy to be a billionaire? I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Joe Piazza. I want to tell people this week that we're recording during the first week of January. So I don't know about you, Dori, but I'm surrounded by resolutions and also what I think of as resolution 2.0, which is intentions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
You know, there's like, I like the idea of resets. I do.
Totally.
Like, I like the idea of, okay, yeah, you know, I have been a little dehydrated. Maybe I should drink some more water and move my body more. Mm-hmm. You and I talked about how you want to make sure you're doing your back yoga so your back hurts less. All good things. One of the things that I'm actually enjoying right now is that a lot of my friends are putting me on accountability text chains or threads or WhatsApps to like check in with each other. Do you have any of these?
Sort of. There's a group of women here in Los Angeles and we get together occasionally to write. And we will text each other, but I did just join an actual like accountability workshop where I'm paying money to someone to help me with accountability, because that is a big thing that is like, yeah.
Great. I'm excited for this for you.
I agree with you. I'm a big fan of feeling like renewal is important. And 2023 was such a shit show. I mean, there were some highlights, like starting this podcast, but
you know, that was great. That was a highlight.
There were also some real lows and
some real downers.
I'm ready to just like leave 2023 in the rearview mirror, as it were.
Yeah. No, I'm ready. Let's light that shit on fire. And I bring up accountability threads and workshops today for a reason, because I just recently discovered the billionaire version of an accountability text thread.
What?
Yeah. It is called the Rejuvenation Olympics.
No. And come on.
Yeah. And it's not about, you know, writing a set amount of words a day or finally losing that baby weight and getting in your 10,000 steps. The goal of the Rejuvenation Olympics is to reverse your aging and live forever.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. And that's...
Okay.
That's what today's episode is about. It's about billionaires and actually multimillionaires, just rich, rich people, mostly dudes, their obsession with living forever, with extending their life, with never dying. This is a thing. This is a thing that billionaires, yet another thing that billionaires are obsessed with.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Rejuvenation Olympics, like I said, the billionaire version of your accountability thread, it's an online leaderboard, and it was launched by yet another tech millionaire named Brian Johnson. And the goal is, like, they're competing to see who can slow their biological age the fastest. Like, who can reverse their aging.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One article about it on Vox said, it's almost like who can be the best Benjamin Button.
I mean, as with many of these things that billionaires do, like, I feel like if you think about it for more than 5 minutes, you're like, why would I want this?
Why would I want this? And we're going to get into this. We are going to get into that. We are. We're going to dig in. Now, before we get into that, I need you to Google a picture of Brian Johnson, millionaire, for me, because I was going to send this to you. I need your first visceral reaction when you see him.
Okay. I see a few different pictures of him. One, he looks like a totally normal person.
Right. So this is likely, if it's a normal picture of him, it's likely before
yes.
he started Benjamin
okay.
Button.
And then I'm seeing some pictures of him holding up vials of blood.
Yeah.
Shirtless.
We're also shirtless, holding up vials of blood, looks like one of those very pale vampires from the HBO
yes,
series.
Yes,
True
yes.
Blood.
He looks, yes. He looks yes. like AI. He looks like an AI generated.
He looks like an AI generated person. And
yes.
he's the one that created the Rejuvenation Olympics, where these very, very rich people, again, mostly men.
Yeah.
Are competing and sharing what they're doing. They adjust their diets. They take like a gazillion supplements. They're constantly being tested by doctors. And then they get their age retested. This is a thing that is very likely completely bunk science. The idea that you can test your biological age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's how they compete. That's how you move up the leaderboard. Someone on the website of the Rejuvenation Olympics actually said, you win by never crossing the finish line.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, you know, he may have an unfair advantage because he created the Rejuvenation Olympics, but Brian Johnson is very consistently the leader of the Rejuvenation Olympics. It's like if I were to create, you know, a family holiday Olympics, but I rigged everything so that I was always the queen. Right.
Wow.
Or like,
okay.
or we did a trivia night over the holidays. Nick hosted a uh-huh. trivia night at our uh-huh. local bar. So it's almost as if Nick's like, all right, I'm going to create trivia for everyone, but I'm also playing.
Right.
It
right.
just seems like
I wrote all the questions.
I wrote all the questions.
But I'm also competing in the contest.
And so therefore I know all the answers.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Johnson is very consistently winning this game of who can be biologically the youngest. And he's done some crazy, crazy stuff there are a lot of profiles out there of him that dig into exactly what he's doing. He also has a YouTube channel, which has gazillions of subscribers, where he documents his journey to de-age.
Of course, yeah. Because how could you want to live forever without also wanting to be a longevity influencer?
Totally, totally. Again, this definitely crosses over to Under the Influence. What
yep.
to under over the influence and to under the influence, what is a longevity influencer? It is clearly Brian Johnson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the stuff that he does is gonzo.
Yeah, I want to hear.
He claims that he eats something like 70 pounds of vegetables a month. He's received blood transfusions from his 17-year-old son because he believes that younger blood makes him younger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, if I were his son, like, can you really give consent for that kind of thing? You know what I mean?
No. No. I just, yeah, exactly. If your dad is like, give me your blood, kid, or I'm cutting you off.
Right, exactly.
Millions of dollars.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like a little coerced.
This level of optimized lifestyle and all of the things that he's doing cost at least $2 million a year.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Now, do you want me to back up and tell you a little bit about how he got his money, like who he was before he became
yeah.
the man?
Yeah, yeah. Who is this guy? Because he's, as when I Googled him, I realized he's like almost exactly my age. He is 3 months younger than me. But of course, you know, he's...
Well, biologically,
actually,
like, Dory, he's
right,
probably
exactly.
25 years younger
than me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, he's you know, he's in our age zone. But Brian Johnson, it's Brian with a Y, by the way, if everyone out there is also Googling him. He's not like a household name rich guy.
Right, totally. He's not Elon Musk. He's not Peter Thiel.
No. But he's recently gotten into a feud with Elon Musk, which will, again, so much to get to here. So he, Brian Johnson, Brian with a Y, made most of his money by creating a payments processing company, you know, just a way, again, to like harness the internet to take money from people. It was called Braintree. Do you remember Braintree?
I don't think that I do.
I think it seems like it was a back end kind of thing. And that's how a lot of these rich guys made their money, the back end ways.
Yeah.
To take other people's money.
Yeah.
He sold Braintree to eBay for about $800 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There it is.
There it is. Right there.
There it is.
Right there. And he was young. He was young when he did that. It was way back in 2013. He made about $400 million off of that sale. He made about $300 million off of that sale.
Okay, that's a pretty penny.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes him, his net worth now is allegedly around $400 million. This is the first time I came across this word in our research. He's what business journalists call a centimillionaire.
What does that mean?
Well, to distinguish the average millionaire, because we say a lot, we're like, oh, not everyone we're talking about is a billionaire. There's some millionaires. And I guess centimillionaire is to distinguish the average millionaire from the person with many hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They don't want to be grouped in with the average millionaire. They don't. That's not their jam. They are not like those people.
No. Right. Mm-mm. Right.
Mm-mm. No.
Well, good. I'm glad we have that distinction.
It's good that we have that word. It's good. Okay. So... he made a lot of money selling Braintree, but despite how successful he was financially, he was very depressed. He was unhappy in his life. He had three kids. He was unhappy in his marriage. He says that he was something like 50 pounds overweight and really miserable. So he goes through a lot of therapy. He gets divorced. And then he begins his quest to reverse his biological age.
I mean, what I'm hearing is like classic midlife crisis situation.
Classic midlife crisis. And I think we should take a quick break here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about all of the things that Brian Johnson is doing to Benjamin Button himself.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hold on to your hat. We're back.
Okay.
Holding. So Brian Johnson, the Centimillionaire, has claimed that spending something like $2 million a year to reverse aging has helped him, as a 46-year-old man, have the skin of a 28-year-old, the heart of a 37-year-old, and the lung capacity of an 18-year-old.
Wow.
And we haven't even gotten into the way he measures his penile function.
Oh, no, Joe.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all here. It's all right here. It is.
Here's a question. I'm hearing a lot of metrics associated with physical health. But what about mental health? What about happiness?
Right?
Is Brian Johnson happy?
I do not think so. He does not seem like a happy individual. I've now read probably about 10 interviews with him. I went down a real long rabbit hole last night watching his YouTube videos.
Ooh.
And like you said earlier, he does seem not even like someone, but something created by AI. He doesn't seem like a real person anymore. And I think that a lot of the listeners are going to agree with us. Once we go through his daytime routine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like bracing myself.
Yeah, no, you really do need to brace yourself. So he goes to bed by 8:30 every single night. Sleep is a very important part of the de-aging process. It's a lot of sleep.
I mean, look, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. Like, sleep is important, right? Like,
sleep is so. And so the things that I'm going to start out with are not entirely crazy pants, right? He goes to sleep at 8:30. He doesn't drink. Yet another thing. Would I probably be a little bit healthier if I didn't consume alcohol? Probably. He only consumes about 2,000 calories a day. Okay. And he only eats them between the hours of 6 a.m. and 11 a.m. And then he does not eat anything else until he goes to bed at 8:30.
He eats between 6 a.m. and 11 a.m. and doesn't eat for the rest of the day.
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. No, he does not. I mean, I know people do intermittent fasting. But I've never done it. My understanding is that like a typical window is 8 hours.
I think actually, so I do some intermittent fasting. I've tried it.
Okay.
I like it, actually. I do. And the window of not eating is usually 16 hours.
Right. So 8 hours of eating. That's what
so
I meant.
Eight hours. Yeah. The 8 hour window eating. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Totally.
So he has reduced that to 5 hours. Starting at 6 a.m.
He has reduced that to, he only eats for 5 hours of it. Now, like I said, I watched so many of his videos. I read a lot of the profiles. The best profile out there, and this is so good, we're going to post it for everyone in notes, is by Charlotte Alter at Time Magazine. It's you know the kind of journalism I like, Dory. Like, I love an immersive, ridiculous, meaty profile where you're just like in the freaking trenches. Yeah.
Totally.
This one is so good. It's so good. She went to his house, tried some of the weird shit that he does, and goes in. She feels like one of us, right? She goes in with the right amount of skepticism. She's like, I love pizza. Are we going to get along?
Right.
And she wrote in Time, I spent 3 days observing Johnson to learn what a life run by an algorithm would look like and whether the next evolution of being human would have any real humanity at all.
Okay. And what did she learn?
Oh my, so much. So she goes to the house. It's beautiful. It's very sparse. It's very minimalistic. Brian starts out by making her what he eats every morning. And by eat, I mean drink, because most of what he consumes, all 70 pounds of vegetables, are all mushed up into juice or bowl mush concoctions.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he's taking more than 100 supplements a day. So he's just mashing these pills up and swallowing pills, trying to get all of those 100 supplements in that tiny window. Because I don't know about you, but I can't have a vitamin unless I've like had a snack first because I don't feel good. Right.
Also, like, he seems like the exact target audience for Soylent.
Oh my God. I thought all I could think about was Soylent the whole time I was reading this. So her description of him is amazing. He has the body of an 18-year-old and the face of someone who has spent millions attempting to look like an 18-year-old. His skin is pale and glowing, which is partly because of the multiple laser treatments he's done and partly because he had no hair on his entire body.
Oh, wow.
The hair on his head is not dyed, but he does use a gray hair reversal concoction. That sounds like hair dyed for me.
Right.
He says it's an herbal extract. He says it's an herbal extract, but that also sounds like hair dye to me.
Right. Yeah. It's a tinted herbal extract.
It's a tinted herbal extract that is not hair dye, but changes his hair from gray to dark brown.
Right.
Yes. Yes. So he walked Charlotte Alter through his morning routine. Wake up at 4:53 in a bedroom that has nothing in it because he only believes in sleeping in there. The only object in the room was a laser face shield that he puts on to grow collagen and reduce wrinkles. And then now we're going to get into it. If you guys have the kids, maybe send the kids out of the room. The other device in the bedroom is the one that he attaches to his penis while he sleeps to measure his nighttime erections.
Stop.
He's telling this to a reporter from Time Magazine. He measures them because he believes that that is yet another marker of biological age. And he said with a straight freaking face,
"No,
I have on average 2 hours and 12 minutes each night of erection of a certain quality."
Does he talk at all about his waking sex life?
He does. Yeah. He brought that up. He said specifically
not that I like really want to know, but like since he's so fixated on his nighttime sexual.
Well, first off, don't you want to know what the erection tracker looks like? Because
no.
I did.
I mean, I do, but I don't. But I do.
But
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. According to the story, it looks like a little AirPods case with a turquoise strap. And again, I want to hang out with Charlotte Alter. I'm going to send her a message and be like, dude, like, can we get some freaking pizza together? Because she describes it as like a purse worn by a penis.
Stop.
Yeah.
A purse worn by a penis. And he just like puts this on every night.
He puts this on every night because he believes that by measuring how often he's you know, getting excited, he can get closer to what he wants, which is to be an 18-year-old boy again. And I'm like, oh, gross. Oh my God. If my husband all of a sudden became an 18-year-old boy, like in some movie, the Freaky Friday kind of thing, and be like, that is right. Get out of my house. There's totally. Nothing more disgusting than an 18-year-old
yes.
boy.
Yes.
He says that if he were, and how did he even get these measurements? I don't know. He claims that the average erection time for 18-year-old men is 3 hours and 30 minutes. So he's not there yet. He's not there yet.
Wow. I really wish him the best in this journey of his.
I wish him the best.
His penile journey.
His penile. Well, of course. Of course. I wasn't surprised that there was a penile journey built into this. These techie longevity freaks are so obsessed with measuring every data point of their bodies that even though it didn't originally occur to me, I'm like, of course they're measuring their erections. It's the one, like, that's what these men are obsessed with.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But he does admit, he's like, it would be really hard to date me. There's a lot not to like.
Think that he actually like craves human connection.
He does not seem to crave human connection. He does not. No. Not at all. And the interesting thing is, it's not just health and body with him. It's his looks too. He seems to be obsessed with what his face looks like. Mm. And he uses all kinds of creams and that laser light mask and red and blue lights to stimulate all kind of collagen growth. Like, he wants to look like a baby.
Yes. Right. You're right. Like, there's an element of like immaturity here.
Yes, exactly. This, like, I want perfect baby booty skin is what he wants.
I mean, look, I get it. Like, you know, as I said, like, I'm pretty much exactly his same age. Like, we are at an age where it's like, you know, you do start to notice these physical changes, and it is disorienting and scary. And like, you start to feel like you don't look like yourself anymore.
Totally. But I also don't want to look like a vampire.
But 1,000%. That was kind of where I was going with this. Is like, I don't know what he's trying to achieve, and I feel like what I'm hearing from you as you're describing what he's doing, it's kind of reminding me of people who get endless plastic surgery.
Oh yes,
or even like endless fillers, or you know,
endless fillers.
Any sort of like, you know, appearance-based procedure that there's some goal in their mind of what they're going to look like, and it keeps changing, and it's never enough. And that's kind of like what I hear happening here is like, he's never going to look young enough. His skin is never going to be smooth enough.
He's never going to get enough erections.
His erections will never last long enough, because once he reaches his like supposed goal, he's going to have some other goal.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It just feels like an exhausting way to live.
I was exhausted reading the article, because next, after he's woken up, taken all of his measurements, taken all of his supplements. He works out. Working out is a very big part of this. And he measures everything. He measures his oxygen consumption. He measures everything that his body is doing. And then he eats a little bit more steamed vegetables and lentils that have, according to this piece, been blended until they resemble a mush the color of a sea lion.
Ew.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Beth.
And he doesn't call them, he doesn't call meals by their meal names, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He calls them first meal, second meal, third meal. And for dessert. For dessert, he has something that he calls nutty pudding, which is just ground up nuts and plant-based milk and pomegranate juice. And he tops it with chia seeds and berries. And he says in a video where he shows himself making this, that the saddest moment of his day is his last bite of nutty pudding.
At 11 a.m.
At 11 a.m.
Wow.
At 11 a.m. And, you know, he just, like most of the billionaires and centimillionaires that we've talked about on this podcast, they all speak in this grandiose language that, well, this isn't about me. It's about something so much bigger. He shoots out phrases like, most people assume death is inevitable. We're just basically trying to prolong the time we have before we die. I don't think there's been any time in history where Homo sapiens could say with a straight face that death may not be inevitable.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 And the thing is, experts don't agree with him. Experts say death is not optional. To human beings, all life forms are genetically programmed to die. So every profile of Brian Johnson, includes a lot of skepticism that says there is absolutely no evidence saying any of this will ever work. And in fact, one doctor said something like, he looked sick. He was really pale. I don't know what he's doing with his face.
Yeah, he does look sick.
He doesn't. I don't think he looks well. I don't think he looks well. And, you know, that's also not the only criticism of what he's doing. A lot of people are worried that if the rich are able to live longer / forever, they're just going to get richer, like compounding the already very imbalanced world of money that we live in, because we know that money makes more money. And so these people, if they can live longer than other people, will only get more and more exponentially richer and exponentially more powerful. Let's take another break here. And when we get back, we're going to talk about how Brian Johnson is very much not alone.
We'll be right back.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So, Joe, we're back.
Well, yeah.
One thing that I actually think leads into what you want to talk about next that I've been thinking a lot about when it comes to like living longer and living forever is like all your friends and family will die. Like maybe not your kids, but like all of your peers will die before you.
Yeah.
You will be alone. I mean, my grandparents lived into their 90s. They didn't live, you know, they didn't live like obscenely long. Like they didn't live till over 100, but like my grandfather died at, I think he was 96. Like that's pretty old.
Yeah.
And like his wife was dead. All of his friends were dead. He had moved into a nursing home that he was like pretty content at and had like made some new friends, but like everyone he knew was gone.
Was
all dead. All of the relatives of his that, you know, all his cousins that he had grown up with, like all of those people were gone. And it's like at some point, it feels very lonely. And so it kind of actually like reminds me a little bit of what we talked about last week with these billionaires that just want to like live out the apocalypse in their bunkers, like with, you know, 20 other people. And it just feels like both of these scenarios, like your world become, like you're preparing for your world to become very small.
Yes. Yes. And I think you have to already be a very lonely person to be able to embrace this future. And and he's talked about it. You know, he doesn't seem concerned with watching everyone around him no longer be around him. He seems to think it is likely inevitable. And I don't think that he is a person who necessarily craves human connection. And he said that when he was talking about the fact that it's so hard for him to date. I love this part because he's like, there's 10 reasons why women will literally hate me. We have to eat dinner at 11:30. We can't go on sunny vacations. We're in bed by 8:30. No small talk. Also, always sleeping alone. I don't want to live this life is the thing.
No, I don't want to live this life either.
I don't want to live this life either. I just like this is not the future that I want. And it actually has nothing to do with, you know, oh my gosh, you have to give up the pizza or the coffee or the margaritas. It's more exactly what you said, that it just seems really lonely. Mm-hmm. And from everything that I read about Johnson, he doesn't seem to care. Loneliness does not seem to concern him.
From my point of view, maybe I shouldn't judge. I'm not judging that. I'm just saying, like, to me, that feels like a sad life, but maybe to him, that doesn't feel like a sad life.
Well, he also seems convinced, as many of these techie billionaires seem convinced, that AI is the future, and that for humans to continue to live simultaneously with AI, we have to evolve ourselves in this way. So he's not necessarily thinking about the future the way we think about the future. He's thinking about the future where, you know, the Terminator movies, right? Where we're living side by side with emotionless machines.
Oh, interesting. And our relationships are like our romantic relationships are with like an AI bot.
With a bot, if we have them at all. But then how are you getting the necessary amount of erections in the middle of the night? That's my question.
Fleshlights? I don't know.
And he also says that, you know, it's very important to eliminate want from your life in order to do this. And I loved Charlotte Alter ended her Time profile of him by saying, even if I knew each indulgence would bring me closer to death, I'd still do it. I want to meet a friend for cocktails. I want to snuggle in bed and watch TV. Yeah. I want to stay up late texting my friends about that TV show and FaceTime my daughter, the one who caused me to gain 30 happy pounds because I only ate butter pasta and cheese pizza for most of my pregnancy. And I'm like, yes, that's what I wanted. That's the life. I think it's really important to use the word longevity instead of extending life, because I think you could continue to exist on this planet, but are you living a life that you would want?
Yeah.
And I stumbled onto actually a Reddit thread. I don't think anything good usually happens on Reddit, but sometimes there's some gems on there. And it was this Reddit thread called Shower Thoughts. And the headline was, all the billionaires obsessed with longevity are exactly the kind of people you wouldn't want to live forever.
I mean, exactly.
Exactly. And I mean, there's so many comments on this. You know, one of my favorite was, the only way to be a billionaire is to be a completely despicable sociopath.
I mean, yeah, kind of. So it's like, when they talk about just like this little society where they're the only ones surviving.
They don't care. Another thing that Brian Johnson said.
They don't
said,
care.
Another thing that Johnson said is, I have a relationship with the 25th century more than I have a relationship with the 21st century. I don't really care what people in our time and place think of me. I really care about what the 25th century thinks.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know, he might be alone in terms of his family may not live forever. His three kids may not live forever. He doesn't seem to have that many friends. But
yeah,
there will probably be other billionaires with him, because this, as I mentioned, is a billionaire pet project. Bezos right. loves it. Bezos loves longevity.
Of course he does. Yes. Of course he does.
Yes.
Here's the other thing that I will say is, like, he sounds really boring.
Super boring.
Like, hanging out with him has got to be so boring.
So boring. I mean, singular obsession. It's like, oh my gosh, can we talk about the Titanic or fossils, other things that billionaires like? And he's like,
literally anything else.
I have to go measure my blood sugar again. I have to check what percentage of my body is fat. By the way, at one point, like, his body fat percentage got so dangerously low, doctors were worried he was going to die.
I mean, he does sound like he has some kind of disordered eating situation going on. Like, again, I'm not a doctor, but like the way he thinks about food and his body and what he puts in his body does not seem, from where I sit, does not seem healthy.
Does not seem too healthy, happy life make. No. Mm-mm. And just doing this episode is making me like real hungry.
Oh, totally. I'm going to need like 5 snacks when we stop recording.
I just want some cheese is what I want.
Oh, my gosh.
Just like a lot of cheese and pizza. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm real hungry. But yeah, as I was saying, Jeff Bezos reportedly invested in Altos Labs, which is a startup working on cellular rejuvenation. The same billionaires keep coming up over and over again. Peter Thiel has invested in a nonprofit that I think their tagline is something along the lines of aiming to make 90 the new 50 by 2030.
I mean, you know, I was just reading something about how not just billionaires, but like the average people are, like, a lot of people are living longer, and like what comes with that is a whole host of problems that like a lot of people haven't anticipated. Like, maybe you live to 90, but like, what is your quality of life like in your last few years? Like, are you sick? Are you mobile? Are you like, do you have dementia? Like, what is going on? And, you know, I think the dementia aspect is interesting, because like, how's he gonna avoid that if that happens? Like, he's so focused on his physical well-being.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Well, and the thing that I do like reading about, and I think this is let's loop back to the beginning of the podcast, why we make a lot of these resolutions, is if we are going to live longer than our ancestors lived, we want to live better.
Yes.
I want to be mobile. I don't want my back to hurt. I do a lot of things personally, also because I have this weird genetic muscular dystrophy. So I'm constantly thinking, oh my gosh, how can I make my body work for as long as possible?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want to live for as long as possible, but I just want to be comfortable and happy and enjoy my life for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Oh, but Dory, I have a weird personal story about a multimillionaire who my father-in-law is a doctor and researcher, and he mails me magazine clippings, by the way.
Amazing. My mom does that too.
Love getting mailed magazine clippings. So he mailed me a Bloomberg story about the founder of Lululemon, who also has FSH muscular dystrophy, which is what I have. And I'm fine now, but my muscles will start to deteriorate. No one knows when. And he is sinking his almost entire fortune into trying to cure this one disease.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it just brings up the ethics of who gets to choose who mm-hmm. lives the longest.
Mm-hmm. Joe, this was a journey that I was not expecting to go on. I'm not going to lie.
I know. And they're always a new journey. And, you know, I think that we'll be able to do another episode on this topic or something tangential down the road. Because there are also cases of very, very rich people building islands of longevity where you go there and it's supposed to be a longevity resort to try to extend your life. I feel like we should do one in person. Like you and I should go and report from there.
Wow.
While we sneak cheese.
Wow. Longevity resort.
Longevity resorts.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for this. I realize we forgot to mention our email address, which is toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com. Please email us suggestions, comments, concerns, questions. If there's, you know, some obscure billionaire doing something weird that you want us to know about in your backyard, email us. And let's just also remind everyone that Too Much Money is hosted and produced by me, Dory Shafrir, and Joe Piazza. And our music is by Lisa Brenner. Thanks for listening.
Let's go have a snack, Dory.
Okay. Huh.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control. Will not buy back your soul.